from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. You know what I was realizing, Seth, as we get into the good and bad of the weekend? Oh, I'm going to tell you.
You're building suspense.
I'm going to tell you.
No, go.
I'm going to go. Oh, by the way, acknowledge me coming up in 20 minutes.
You son of a...
And I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing. I have rarely been thinking about Kyle Tucker during this recent run of Astros good baseball.
It's been a pleasant surprise how much of an afterthought he is. Like, every time I remind myself, or that somebody, you know, brings it up in the comments or on social media, I remember, oh yeah, they're doing this without, not just without Tucker, but without Verlander too.
Yep.
Now Verlander is a little dicier because he's older. He's going to get banged up, and there's going to be that constant looming fear that he might get injured again. Whereas Tucker is always healthy, and this is not like some, this isn't some soft tissue injury or something. He got whacked in the shin with a baseball,
yeah.
And he's going to come back. He's going to be healthy, and yeah, I think a lot of us as Astros fans almost like enjoy just being able to put him off to the side and know that, like, yeah, this is almost like a trade deadline signing. If they can play like this, if they can play like the back of their baseball cards now, and then you get another back of the baseball card coming back, that gets super exciting.
It's
yes.
There's a lot of angles to the Tucker thing. I think one, and it's a great point, they're doing it about Verlander also. The obvious difference is Kyle Tucker was playing at an MVP level when he went out, so the concern was there, like, man, this is a big hole in the middle of your lineup. I mean, it has forced them to bat Yiner Diaz at cleanup quite a bit lately. Jake Myers has batted cleanup during this past month of June at one point.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Myers batted cleanup for this team that had the best record in the month of June. It wasn't multiple times. It may have been multiple times, but very little. But they've had to cobble this thing together over the course of June without the guy who'd been their best player through the first couple months of the season. I think it's also, too, Seth, hard not to think, like, okay, he went out on June 3rd. That was at St. Louis, that Monday game you and I were at. He went out on that game. So they basically played the entire month of June without Kyle Tucker. I'm not saying they're a better team without Kyle Tucker. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is it is tough. It was tough for me, at least, not to peep ahead in the future and go, okay, yeah, this may be what it looks like after 2025 for this team, where Jose Altuve is going to be here forever. Yordan Alvarez is going to be here forever. And then you're cobbling things together around them with guys that are young guys or some vets or ascending guys or whatever. My brain, I can't live in the moment with a lot of this stuff, that I get thinking about contracts and the future and free agency. If they announce,
you are, whenever I try to have a meditation session with you and bring you in and put you in the lotus position, you're constantly like 30 seconds into it, like, I'm thinking about Tucker.
Yeah.
Thinking about Tucker.
I'm thinking about contracts. If there was a tweet tomorrow they signed Kyle Tucker to an 8 to 10 year deal for $300 million or whatever, I'd be cool with that. I think Kyle Tucker is the guy you break the rules for if you're the Astros. That said, it was kind of fun watching this. It was fun watching extra innings yesterday when the guys who got the RBIs in extra innings yesterday for the Astros. It's six runs driven in extra innings. Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers, Joey Loperfido, Trey Cabbage.
Right.
four outfielders that you weren't even really talking about a month and a half ago. You know?
If you were to manage, like, if we were going to look for where the heart rate spike is when you mention those names, I think if other Astros fans are anything like me, I am gaga for Loperfido.
Yeah.
Man, I go old school baseball scout with Loperfido. I'm just like, look at that kid. Look at, he's got the good face. This kid's all right. And he got a miserable stolen base attempt in the top of the ninth. But other than that, he was a hero. He was a hero there in extra innings. I think that a lot of it, if we're going to do that and start thinking out way too far ahead, the question has always been these last few years is, okay, how exactly are they going to extend and follow up on the Jeff Luhnow era? Because in baseball, the GM's decisions echo for years afterwards. So we've still been reaping the benefits of a lot of things that Jeff Luhnow did. I think immediately right now, the reasons for optimism are that I think your pitching coaching is really, I think they're standing on their own two feet now. And now that Brent Strom has been gone for several years and they've still been able to take some of these younger guys or lesser thought of prospects and get some really good stuff out of them. You look at Dana Brown and his first draft already looks spectacularly good with the way four of those guys have been elevated to AA already. And I think that there's a lot of reason for optimism that whatever edge they had on the scouting side of things forever, it feels like they still might have that edge.
Mm-hmm.
It still feels like they might see value in guys like Ronel Blanco, and that's not as much, and that's acquired by Luhnow, but still, it's that they're going to be able to get more with less, or at least what other people perceive of as less.
Yeah, man. Look at the bullpen. I mean, look at the middle relief on this team. Forget about the back end, which has been better. You know, they, like, Seth Martinez, yesterday notwithstanding, has turned into a reliable innings eater in the middle, you know, innings eater. Like, you know, he's a multi-inning guy when you need him to eat some innings. Taylor Scott's been amazing this year.
Right.
And he did it again last night. You know, he did it again yesterday. Like, Taylor Scott has been a find for this team. Hunter King Hunter King has come up and given them some decent innings. You know,
I get excited when I see King there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and Sean Dubin is another guy who is a consummate late bloomer. Like, he was a late bloomer that, you know, I think that the Astros have an ability to reinvent guys. We see that all the way going back to Charlie Morton and Garrett Cole. Mm-hmm. But on a smaller stage, though, they do it with a lot of guys where you just flat out get more out of these guys than you would have expected several years ago.
Yep, no doubt. So the good and the bad with the Astros this week, and we'll talk about Dubin a little bit more. He's going to get acknowledged here, spoiler alert, in about 12 minutes. I like the fact, Seth, that over these last couple games, the Astros did a ton of their damage in the late innings. Saturday, they've not come back. I think the biggest deficit they'd come back from this season was a 3-run deficit, and that looked like one of those games, man, early on. Like, okay, well, this is Fromber doesn't have it. The bats don't have it. This is a game that in April and May they were rolling over and playing dead in. Like, all right, well, they're just, you know, they're going to leave 11 guys on base today, and they're going to lose 6-2, and this is just how it is. And now they're going to lose a game in the standings to the Mariners, and we're going to tread water. And instead, they chipped away. They made it 6-4, and then in the late innings, great to see Bregman come up with that big hit. Great to see them put some distance there after that and tack another couple runs on. And so now, you know, you bring in Josh Hader and you're breathing a little bit easier. But they piled on 5 in the 8th and the 9th on Saturday and 6 in extra innings yesterday.
Well, and I think sort of what you started to see in June, too, and like, I'm not making this about Abreu, but I think Abreu is a really good illustration of how the Astros were not their same selves in the first part of the season. As a team, their judgment at the plate just wasn't as precise and obvious, and they were allowing pitchers to have good performances and go deeper into games. They were grounding out a lot. Their judgment at the plate just wasn't the same. Abreu was one of the worst, you know, because Abreu would get up there and be out in 3 or 4 swings every single damn time, it felt like. That was the extreme example, but it was going on with a lot of their even better batters, where now they just like they've looked in the field. You know, they were sloppy in the field the first couple months of the season. They got back on track. They just look like a more professional baseball team at the plate now, too.
Yeah. I guess, because we have a text message asking, can you guys discuss the differences, the difference the team has been since they got rid of Jose Abreu? I think the easiest way to put it is that we're never going to have another lineup with the Astros like in 2019 where it felt like guys 1 through 7, you know, could all make the All-Star team. And then even guys 8 and 9, even the catcher position, you know, be pre-Maldonado. Like, you know, you felt like for a catcher, you know, at least they're batting in the low 200 somewhere. The baton was always going to get passed. It may not be where you're going to score 8 runs or 9 runs on the regular or anything like that, but you feel like at least there's a chance guy could work a walk, or a guy's going to move a runner over, and the baton's going to get moved. With Jose Abreu, there was no moving of the baton. It was like, okay, this guy's going to get out, and we just have to work around it. Imagine, if you will, Seth, that if there was a rule where only one team in baseball had to make the pitcher hit in games, and every other team got to use a DH. Imagine that team. Imagine being the team where your pitcher had to hit every game and every other team got to use a DH. That was the Astros with Jose Abreu in the lineup this season. It was worse, actually. I mean, his OPS was worse than a lot of pitchers. It was in the mid-300s. So that's probably the easiest way for me to, like, articulate it to where you go, oh, my God, that's right. This guy was that bad. Now not only do you have a lineup where, hey, they're not all-stars or anything like that. They're not all even good hitters. But they're at least professional hitters where you feel like they're going to work a walk. You feel like they're going to make contact. They're going to make something happen. Oh, by the way, whoever it is can play defense. And oh, by the way, you can rejigger the line. Can you imagine trying to rejigger the lineup yesterday when Altuve got ejected if Jose Abreu was playing first base?
Right, yeah.
Because you were able to move guys around, you know?
Well, because even John Singleton, I mean, like, John Singleton gives you competitive at-bats.
Right.
You know, John, he's had really good judgment. And he's not what you want, you know, would I prefer Vlad Guerrero Jr. out there every night? Sure. Even though Vlad Guerrero Jr., so we're getting a lot of questions on YouTube chat about Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
He's not having a great year. But he's more of a solid first baseman. And defensively, he's really good too.
He's good.
So yeah. But regardless of all that, it's just John Singleton is a night and day difference in terms of competitive at bats compared to Jose Abreu.
He had 3 hits yesterday and a home run. I mean, like I'd have to go back and look at Jose Abreu's game log to see if he ever had 3 hits in a game as an Astro. You know, so you're absolutely right. So that's the good. You know, I think there's other good. We mentioned the outfielders all chipping in extra innings and late in games yesterday and on Saturday. Yainer Diaz really seems to be getting his legs under him again, and he's been hitting really well. He's been nice in that cleanup spot behind Yordan. They've not really been respecting Yainer very much. They've been pitching around Yordan a lot, and he's making them pay, so that's been good to see. As far as the bad from the weekend, we're going to get into Acknowledge Me here in just in about 6 or 7 minutes. The two big brain farts on the weekend, I don't like seeing those. I mean, they both came in wins, so it didn't hurt, but Fromber, early in that game where there was first and third, nobody out, and there's a nubber in front of home plate, and clearly, you're not going to make the play at any of these bases. Clearly, the only play at that point might have been just pick the thing up and throw it to first base and lift it. You're not going to get your shutout today, Fromber. Sorry.
Right.
But he glove scoops it over the catcher's head, and it just keeps the inning alive. And like a lot of things with Fromber, it exacerbates.
It snowballs.
Yeah, exponentially.
He throws the ball to Altuve at second base instead of Pena, who was covering second base.
Yeah.
It was the bad Fromber. Fromber showed up.
Yeah.
We've just seen more instances of bad Fromber showing up since the pitch clock was instituted.
Yeah. Now, I'll
blame the pitch clock for Framber's regression in some respects. But I don't get too worked up about the pitch clock in general. But for Fromber, I feel like it's been a net negative.
Framber's probably still the one guy who's capable on this. Like, if I had to pick one guy, and maybe I'll even include Hunter Brown in this just because it's only been 7 starts for Hunter Brown. Like, on this staff, if I need someone to throw a gem, like 8 innings, 2 hits, 9 strikeouts, you got to pick somebody to do it. I'd probably still pick Fromber, but man, he's just, it feels like once every 4 outings this year, it's just, I mean, he's got an ERA of over 4 for a reason, you know?
If I had to pick any of the pitchers, including anybody in the minor league system, to defuse a bomb while, like, receiving instructions from somebody, Fromber would be the one where, like, I could just see him be like, should I clip the red wire or the blue wire? And somebody says, clip the red wire. And then Fromber picks up a hammer and smashes it instead. he's just going to do something completely out of left field that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, and the everyday player answer to that is Altuve on the base paths. And yesterday just it looked really bad in the moment where he was off with the pit. He was running. You know, he's trying to steal. Yeah. And I forget who the hitter was at the time. It might have been Bregman. Hits a fly ball to the outfield. And Altuve doesn't even, like, he's not even on the screen trying to get back to first base. Now, he explained it after the game where he said he got deked at second base. Like, the shortstop and the second baseman acted like it was a ground ball.
Yeah.
And it was really a fly ball, and they got him. You know, they deked him, and he didn't even bother running back to first, and he got caught off.
Does Altuve realize that at this stage in his career, he's going to be a guy that guys are going to attempt to deke?
Yeah.
Now, Altuve making horrible base running decisions is correlated with the Astros making it to the ALCS.
Okay.
So I looked at that yesterday as, egregious base running error by Altuve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, he's been in the, I went back through and looked during the rain delay. He's been in the top 33 of outs on base every year except the COVID year since the Astros started going to the ALCS.
Because he was hardly on base that year. He only hit 219.
2022, he led the league. 2022, he led the league, and they just went and simply won a World Series. Right. So there you go.
So we should be rooting for these brain farts.
We should
on the
base be, yeah. Because I don't know if he's on. You know what? I went back through every other year, but I didn't check 2024 to see how he's doing this year and if he's in the top 33.
I'm gonna guess not.
He's
great.
Been in the top five plenty of times.
Yeah, yeah.
But 33 was the low water mark.
Lowest
in non-COVID years.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the brain farts were not great. It didn't cost them. They won both games. I would say Joe Espada is about to get acknowledged in a positive way in Acknowledge Me, spoiler alert. But as long as we're talking about the bad from the weekend, Espada had some strange chess moves, if indeed these were his decision. Now, this one on Saturday, I think, had to be his decision. But top of the ninth on Saturday, it's still a close game. I think they're up 7-6 at that point. And Pena, he had Pena sacrifice bunt Myers and Diaz over to second and third with nobody out. So now it's one out, second and third for Chaz. He's taking the bat out of Pena's hands. Pena's been hitting the ball better lately to bring Chaz up with one out, second and third. And by the way, Chaz had just struck out on three pitches his previous at bat. He struck out on three pitches in that at bat. So that one was a curious move to me in a close game late to take the bat out of Pena's hands and have him sacrifice. I understand the strategy on paper if you just take the names out of it. Hey, we're going from first and second, nobody out, to second and third, one out. So if our hitter just makes contact to the outfield or a ground ball to the opposite side, then we probably bring a run home. But the hitter coming up was Chaz, who's been bad for most of the year and looked completely overwhelmed in his previous at-bat.
Old school, the lefty, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it made no sense to me. And then in the 10th inning yesterday, Chaz got caught stealing to make it two outs with Yordan in the on-deck circle. And to me, in a close game or an extra innings game, like unless it's Ricky Henderson on first base that you're sending to steal, or Pena or Myers or somebody who's actually fast, I don't think you do anything where the downside is Yordan might not get up that inning. You know, like that to me, that's less egregious. But that one to me, I didn't like that decision. So those are just
I don't mind the steal. That's just aggressive, and with a guy that's very capable of stealing second in that situation. Because by the flip token is, yeah, when Yordan comes up, you've got a guy in scoring position, and there you go.
Yeah,
I don't wanna. If you had asked. So, like, I think in this one, if you had asked me before he attempted the steal, whether it's a good move or not, I'd say, yeah, go for it. You're being aggressive in that instance with the thought that, okay, you got Yordan coming up, and and not to mention Dubon. I feel comfortable enough that Dubon can.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Advance the runners there too.
Maybe I was feeling it a little bit acutely because I needed Jordan to get an extra base hit to win my Prize Picks play. And that took, that basically took him out of the mix. He wasn't going to bat in that inning. That's probably how I was feeling a little more acutely. I still don't agree with it, though. Some of the other bad, Rafael Montero, he's bad lately. If you're Rafael Montero and the Astros throw seven pitchers out there in a bullpen game and you're not one of them, how are you feeling right now if you're Rafael Montero?
No kidding. I think, they loaded up for this reliever day. Abreu, who's pitched more than any other reliever in the league, hadn't pitched in eight games. And it didn't end up working out for the Astros' benefit with Abreu. But I understand the thinking and the rationale. Sean Dubin hadn't pitched since 5 days prior. It was all lining up that it was going to be a reliever day. I guess my stress level over how much they had to use the relievers yesterday isn't, I'm not as stressed out about it because they planned for it and they got plenty of rest ahead of this series.
If it was Eric Geddy on the mound today, I'd be more nervous than if it was Hunter Brown. You know, Hunter Brown's given you six innings literally every time out for the last month and a half. Yeah. Whereas Eric Geddy had a good outing against the Rockies, but you can pencil him in for three or four innings. So they've got a guy who at least feels going to eat up some innings today. You know, get you the back end. Montero probably have to pitch today. And then Hader didn't pitch yesterday, so he can get you the ninth. So there you go. Good and the bad from the weekend.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's get to Acknowledge Me. We got a bunch of them to get here to today, man, and it's very Astros heavy as well. But we acknowledge performances from over the weekend, from over the recent past. We mention their name. We play Roman Reigns saying,
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me, and we acknowledge them for their performance. By the way, go back, if you're a wrestling fan and you missed SmackDown on Friday, go back and watch the acknowledgement ceremony on Friday. That was a good piece of business. Joe Espada.
Acknowledge me.
I was out on Joe Espada a month ago, Seth, because he was saying silly, stupid things about Jose Abreu. And it frustrated me. And it didn't help that the Astros weren't winning baseball games. So the man who was out on Espada, me, has to give him credit and acknowledge. In a month where the Astros had two starters undergo Tommy John surgery. Two guys they had penciled in at the beginning of the year, by the way. This wasn't like J.P. France Tommy John, you know, where he's a fringe guy. Jose Urquidy and Christian Javier have been a big part of the Astros rotation for the last three or four years. Their ace goes on the IL. Who knows when Verlander's coming back at this point. They lose Kyle Tucker, as we just talked about in the previous segment. He's been gone all month. I think you got to give Joe a spot of credit. The Astros go 17-8. The manager deserves credit for that in June.
I think that, no, and especially in baseball, so much of being a good manager is sometimes just understanding the length of the season and letting things play out. It was just really hard as an Astros fan to have part of that be letting Abreu play out. And it wasn't his fault, but he's the guy that's up there talking twice a day, Espada is, and it's hard not to let that filter over into it. I do think, and I wonder just, you know, there's no way to ever prove this or document it or anything, but there's a little bit of a lame duck feel to a manager that obviously isn't in control of the situation with Jose Abreu, and you wonder how much that filters into the clubhouse, whether they even realize it or are conscious of it or not, that you've got a manager whose hands are tied with this glaring issue on your baseball team, and it's hard to look at that guy as the guy that's actually in control. It has felt much more, ever since Jose Abreu left, it's felt much more like this is Espada and Dana Brown's team than it did at all before that. It felt like those guys were operating with a governor.
Yep, for sure. Let's acknowledge, okay, this is a name people may not be familiar with. I was not until Friday with Chaz McCormick doing an interview on MLB TV. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Haziel Wesson.
Acknowledge me.
They call him Wes. He's the strength coach, one of the strength coaches for the Astros. Chaz McCormick talked about this on Friday, that after that horrible loss to the White Sox about a week and a half ago, where they hit rock bottom, they were 10 games back of the Mariners, they got a pep talk from their strength coach.
Try to give me a non-cliche answer on what is different about Houston in the last week and change.
Man, I'll tell you what. Obviously, you know, in the beginning of the year, it was tough. We played a lot of good teams, and we lost a lot of tough games. Obviously, it's baseball, and eventually it turns itself around. I think we just got our confidence back. I mean, obviously, like, we've been banged up. We lost Verlander. Obviously, we lost Javier. We lost Urquidy. But we don't have Tucker in the lineup. But honestly, I want to say about a week ago or a week and a half ago, we lost to the Chicago White Sox first game of the series. Our strength coach, Wes, pulled us over as a position player meeting and kind of just talked about, he's been with us a while in the organization. He just talked about, you know, how good we are and how good of a team we are. And obviously we've been struggling, but, you know, he said he's seen us do some crazy things on this baseball field, you know, and basically just giving us confidence. And obviously we haven't been playing that well, but he just made sure to keep giving us a heads up that we're a good team, we're good players. He's seen us do so many good things on this baseball field. And ever since he had that meeting with us, we've won 7 in a row. We've started to hit the ball really well. And it's cool to look back at that, because sometimes you need that. You get, you know, when you start losing the big leagues, you kind of get lost in that, you know, the reminder of how good we are as a team and us as players. And it was cool to have it from our strength coach. And man, I'll tell you what, just with the injuries we've had and how good we've been playing still, I mean, just wait till we get Verlander and Tucker back, and then Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers are on their way back. Yeah, so I think we're starting to hit a stride.
Yeah, man. Those are all the trade deadline pickups. So Haziel Wesson is
Haziel. According to YouTube, it's pronounced Haziel.
What Seth just said,
yeah,
is the new Michael Brantley. Remember when Brantley gave the big speech before Game 4 of the World Series that time? Mm-hmm. And what happened? They didn't lose a single game after that in the World Series.
They did go out and not produce at the plate that game, but they won it.
No hitter in that game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was he gave a speech to the batters, and the pitchers responded. Whatever. They were probably like, "Well, we're not gonna let the batters show us up here."
Whatever.
So, I think Haziel's been with the Astros since 2022.
Okay.
So good job. We acknowledge Haziel.
We do. Yep.
He's born in the Dominican Republic, but he went to college in America. I don't know how long, but he's. I was reading Haziel Wesson's bio, and it occurred to me, like, how far Major League Baseball teams have come since back in the day when there started to be a lot more Spanish speaking players, but nobody on the coaching staff or anything else. Like, nobody spoke Spanish in the organization, and managers would be up, like, giving speeches to guys that didn't have a clue what they were saying, with nobody to translate to them or anything. You know, Hazael is bilingual. He's fluent in Spanish.
Okay,
and,
good.
Has a good pulse on what these guys have done since 2022.
Excellent. So we acknowledge him. He gave the big speech. They're 9-1 since then. Couple more Astros here. Ryan Presley.
Acknowledge me!
Got a lot of heat a few weeks ago because he coughed up a lead to the Angels. He had blown a bunch of saves. He's been outstanding, and it's not even one of those things where the video doesn't match the stats. Like, he's looked really good in the box score, and he's looked really good on television. 7 2/3 innings in his last 8 appearances. Has not given up a run. Has only given up 3 hits. He's only walked one batter, most importantly, I think, there. And he's had 6 strikeouts. Ryan Presley seems to have adapted and adjusted to his role as setup guy, finally.
Yeah, I'm guilty of thinking that it wasn't going to be a big deal. Like, all right, whatever, you're a reliever, go out there. But obviously the psychology is a lot different there. And it's might be as simple as that. It just took him a while to get comfortable in that role. Josh Hader, my God, like, I forgot how atrocious he was at the beginning of the season. I mean, his ERA is still above 4, I believe.
It is.
And, you know, he's been pitching much, much, much better than that. It's just he dug himself such a deep hole by being so bad early on. That's another one where Espada can't be blamed for that, and yet he was the one having to answer for the fact that the out of the gate those first few weeks of the season, the pitching was so bad.
That's truly one where Espada, like, what's he supposed to do? Like, they paid paid $95 million to this guy to be the closer. What's he supposed to do? Not pitch Josh Hader?
Bench him after a few bad performances.
Right. Yeah. Sean Dubin, we got to acknowledge Sean Dubin. 3 1/3 innings pitched yesterday. A career high by far pitches thrown in a game. He threw 55 pitches. His previous high had been 35 pitches in a game. And I think Espada ejected on him just in time, Seth. He tried to get a little greedy and squeeze another inning out of him. Maybe he's just trying to squeeze another hitter out of him because it's a bullpen day and you try to get as many outs as you can from each reliever. But Sean Dubin made me comfortable with the idea of having to do a bullpen game every 5 days if we need to, you know, until Verlander or Bloss or whoever else comes back from their injuries here.
Yeah, and what was the score at the time they pulled him?
He shut them out. I think it was 3-0 at the time.
3-0 at that point.
I
guess with a healthy enough margin there that you can push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah.
If it had been 1-0 at that point, I don't think he would have brought him back out, perhaps. But I can appreciate what Espada was thinking.
Yeah, the score at the time was 3-0. Yep.
Yeah.
They had just scored 2 runs in the top of the 4th the Astros had. So, yeah, 3-0 at the time. Quick acknowledgement of Vanessa Richardson and Mike Stanton. Your broadcast crew for Space City Home Network. They had a noon pregame. They didn't leave that sucker until 7:45 last night because of the rain delay. Like the players, a lot of sitting around during a rain delay.
A lot of sitting around, but I don't necessarily have. I like Vanessa a lot, but was the working environment awful or something?
Let me ask you.
You sit around, you chat about baseball, you look at your phone.
If 9:55 rolled around and you found out all of a sudden that you had to sit around for 3 hours around here and then wait to do another 45 minutes with me on the radio late afternoon one day, how would you feel about that?
I'd be like, I got my online courses that I'm working on. I've got articles. I need to catch up on my Brian McTaggart articles. I'd be like, okay, cool. I'd be A-okay with it.
It's a long day. I'm acknowledging you, Vanessa and Mike. Okay.
I don't mean to pull a bit. I acknowledge Vanessa for other reasons.
Okay.
I saw the text exchange between you two.
Yeah.
She seemed to be okay with it. You're the one that was flipping out on her behalf. You're the one that was like trying to tell her she should be miserable.
I did. I said, talk to the union. You need to talk to your union head. Yeah.
Yeah. You're an agitator, is what you are. Oh, no, she did say, I'm so mad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the text exchange.
She wasn't happy with it. So not at the network or anything, just that, you know, like you're thinking you're getting off of work at 3:30 and now you're getting off of work at 7:30.
Yeah, she used the words mad in all caps, irritated, perturbed in all caps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. Simone Biles.
Acknowledge me.
Makes a third Olympics pretty easily, too. We acknowledge Houston legend Simone Biles. Gymnastics superstar. Third trip to the sport's biggest stage. Posting a two-day all-around total of 117.225. That sounds like a lot of points to me. She got the lone automatic bid on the five-woman team. We always acknowledge Simone Biles. She's amazing. Big Texan fan. We hope still, even though Jonathan Owens doesn't play for the Texans anymore.
She is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, about how, like, in women's gymnastics, the preeminent gymnasts are... They're getting older and older, and it's not like they're super old. The average age of a medal winner in the 2020 Olympics was 20.6 years, which is the highest in more than five decades. And Simone Biles definitely amps up that average a little bit. But part of it, and I'll credit Simone Biles for this, for speaking out when she did with the Michigan State doctor and everything else. That I guess conditions have just improved a lot, to the point where it used to be just like those old cliche, these poor kids were just being worked 12 hours a day trying to become gymnasts and they just burnt out. It's a better environment now. Some more women are just choosing to compete longer too.
Yep.
So Simone Biles obviously is a big leader on that front.
No doubt. So we acknowledge her. CJ Stroud.
Acknowledge me.
We'll be doing a lot of that during the football season, I think. CJ Seth apparently had all the fellas in Miami training this weekend. So at a time on the calendar where Aaron Rodgers is probably in a dark retreat somewhere, you know, who knows? You got a bunch of quarterbacks that aren't really probably doing much because they're trying to get new contracts. You know, they're going to agitate for their new contracts. CJ Stroud, he looked like he had all the fellas down there too. He had a cast of thousands. This wasn't just a Tank, CJ, and Stefan show, and Mechie. I don't know if you've seen the pictures.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at Cade Stover, Stefan Diggs, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. Somebody's got his hand over his face so I can't see. Some white bro with his back turned to the camera. But, yeah, a lot of Texans there.
Good job.
Did you see Tank Dell post the video of Stefan Diggs falling off the...
The Pilates machine? Sledge. Yes. I got nervous.
I know. He went hard. He went down hard.
He did. You know what I like about that, though? Like, that shows that they've bonded. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
The Tank can break balls like that, you know, and post that video. Stefan doesn't.
Maybe Stefan did. I didn't see if Tank Dell just quote tweeted or something. But, yeah, they seem to be having a good time.
They do.
Running routes and doing Pilates in South Beach.
Yep. I'm going to acknowledge the New Orleans Times. The New Orleans Times-Picayune, their newspaper.
Acknowledge me.
For a pretty nice little Easter egg in their headline. We all at this point have probably heard about Hawk Tua girl, right?
Hawk Tua.
Yeah, okay. I mean, she was a man on the street or woman on the street interview a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, 10 days ago in Nashville, where she talked about
Hawk Tua
as sort of a method of things. You know, if you know. the New Orleans Times-Picayune. After the Pelicans, I'm trying to see who they picked up here in this little dealio. They picked up somebody from the Hawks and they made him a Pelican. And the headline reads, "From a Hawk to a Pelican." You know, from from a Hawk to a Pelican. Yeah. A good little pun right there. I didn't see who this was.
DeJounte Murray, right?
Oh, it was DeJounte Murray. Yeah. They traded for DeJounte Murray. That's right. From a Hawk to a Pelican.
Hawk
Tua. Yeah. Did you see? She's had quite the run here, Hawk Tua girl. Her name's Haley Welch, I learned. She is daughter of a
pastor of a mega church in New Jersey.
I don't know that that was true. I think
that was false.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that wound up being one of those things that people ran with, people like me. So I don't think that's true. It is true that her name is Haley Welch. It is true that she has sold nearly $70,000 worth of Hawk Tua merch. And it is also true, because I saw the video, that she was on stage for a Zach Bryan show on Saturday night. So
did she put a trademark on that phrase? I wonder if she's got the advice. I wonder if anybody has advised her to do that.
She should.
Yeah.
She should.
Because she can go back and get some stuff in arrears, too, for this last week.
Yes.
She's got a pretty funny personality.
Yeah.
I think she might actually make a living for herself as some kind of social media personality.
Maybe.
She's self-deprecating. Like, I watched the long-form video where she was doing that interview, and she was like... She was twirling around like, look at my flat ass.
Yeah.
She's pretty funny.
She's very funny.
Yeah. I see a lot of people defending her against what hate. I don't know. It doesn't seem like, it seems like people just think she's pretty funny.
Yeah. And she doesn't seem fazed by it. If there's hate, she doesn't seem to be fazed by it.
She
walked right out on that Zach Bryan stage on Saturday, walked right up to that microphone and right into the microphone.
On the microphone?
On the microphone, yeah. Not COVID-friendly, but who cares? Yeah.
The one thing I feel bad for that young lady is that, from the most part, like, in her personal interactions moving forward in life, it's kind of a standard of, like, yeah. Pete Davidson's talked about this, because when Ariana Grande said something kind of complimentary about his anatomy, which he says is false... So for the rest of his life, he's going to be constantly disappointing women who might be anticipating what Ariana Grande... That was five-dimensional chess by Ariana Grande there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, paid a compliment that's actually going to be a curse that poor Pete Davidson has to not pay off on for the rest of his life.
That's right. That's right. All right, that was Acknowledge Me. A lot of acknowledgement going on today. Hey, today is a big day. Up in Austin, and we knew it from some things happening over the weekend. We heard a little bit more from Austin, from UT's new baseball coach. This was very interesting. Are Aggies getting angry with the wrong person here? We will get to that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Texas is officially in... the SEC today, July 1st. Although I feel like they've been firing salvos prior to getting into the SEC. What with the whole Schlossnagel saga last week where they thieved right out from underneath the Aggies. They thieved their baseball coach. So the Longhorns come into the SEC already with a little bit of juice. They were
big
celebration over the weekend out there in Austin.
I feel like the actual inauguration was when Feinbaum made it a point of discussion, because Paul Feinbaum, who is the biggest SEC agitator of them all, like, this was a big topic for him. So that was like their official welcome to the SEC moment, was that Paul Feinbaum was talking about them, encouraging callers and what have you.
Yep.
I would look forward to Longhorns now being in that world of just basically doing anything and everything right up to the point of, like, saying things that would get you arrested on his radio show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Feinbaum was in Austin over the weekend. They had a big celebration to announce their presence with authority coming into the SEC. And at that celebration, which took place on the SEC network, Jim Schlossnagel, now former A&M head baseball coach, current Longhorn baseball coach, big article, by the way, this weekend, I believe, in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about this, with some interesting quotes from Schlossnagel himself about his interactions with Trev Alberts, the AD at A&M, that got a lot of attention. We'll get to that in just a second. But here was Schlossnagel yesterday on the SEC, or over the weekend on the SEC network, on the uncertainty at A&M being a big reason he left to go to UT.
I took a job under one pretense,
right,
with an athletic director in Ross Bjork, and Trev, I think, is going to do great things at Texas A&M. There were some things that led me to... It just became a different job, and there's a lot of uncertainty in college athletics, as we all know, and there's going to be uncertainty everywhere. But the one thing I know of that is relatively certain is my relationship with Chris. And that's not a negative on Texas A&M. They're going to think what they want to think, and that's okay. But it was just more of my relationship with Chris. I don't want to coach forever.
Yeah.
And so for the remainder of which I do want to coach, I wanted to have some certainty with the future. And again, I think A&M is going to do great things. But University of Texas, it was just too much to walk away from.
All right, so the quote from that article that I was referencing, Seth, in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, that was Jim Schlossnagel. yesterday in Austin, all adorned in his burnt orange gear, sitting right next to Chris Del Conte, by the way, at the stage. Yeah. Like, Del Conte was sitting right next to him, so they're attached at the hip right now.
They're best buds, man.
Yep, they have been for a long time, going back to TCU. But the quote that got a lot of attention this weekend was where Schlossnagel claimed in an interview with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that Trev Alberts, the AD at A&M, told him in the past month, quote, "If you don't ever feel this is the place for you, that's okay, and it's okay to move on." And Schlossnagel said that he kind of took that quote like, wow, okay, that's interesting. That's not something you say to somebody that you want to keep around for a long, long time.
That sounds like something you say when you want to break up, but you don't want to be the one that breaks up. You try to like leave that avenue open to be like, hey, you know,
it's okay.
Sometimes people go their different way. I mean, I love you. I love you. I do. But I'd be totally cool with you leaving me right now. Here, I actually packed your bags for you already.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew you'd have a relationship analogy for it.
I spent years in a you know, any person listening who was once a cowardly teenager knows what it's like to want to break up with somebody and then,
want to break
maybe
up.
Maybe treat somebody in a way in which, like, you're forcing them to break up with you, but then you're immediately jealousy stricken when you realize they've moved on. You're like, oh, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Trev Alberts has not addressed Schlossnagel's claim that that's what was said to him by Alberts, and he's kind of staying away from it because they're busy. I think they found their new head coach. I think they're keeping somebody Early. They're keeping him. He was on Schlossnagel's staff at A&M. He's going to stick around and coach the team. So they found their guy. But Alberts is not getting in the muck with Schlossnagel on this thing, it doesn't sound like. Are Aggie fans mad at the right guy? Like, without knowing, I don't know all the day-to-day at A&M like Aggie fans do, but like on the surface, if I were a new Aggie fan and I didn't know all the day-to-day, I would I bet that's an odd thing for the AD to say to a guy we want to keep around for a while.
I would say this, no. And it's because this is a tactic that my defensive line coach once used on me when I was going to try to transfer out of Cornell because I wanted to go to a big-time school. And I don't think it was a tactic. I love this coach, and he's like a second father to me in a lot of ways. Like when he sat down and talked to me about transferring, he basically said, "Hey, Seth, I'm gonna love you no matter what. If you transfer to this other school, I'm gonna cheer for you, and I'm gonna really hope for the best for you." And that actually was a moment where, you know, it's a different dynamic. That's an older man talking to a young protege. But it felt like love to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the fact that the way he framed it, it felt like I could trust him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I don't know exactly what the tone of the conversation was or anything, but I could see that being in Trev Albert's way of saying, like, hey, listen, I'm just going to, you know, we're having this conversation man to man, and I get it. If you want to move on, it's not, you know, we'll be all right. I don't know. I think it, depending again on how it was presented and everything, that could just be a way that Trev Alberts was trying to humanize the conversation and to break down some barriers.
Yeah.
I don't look at that on the surface of it and think that, oh yeah, he was driving away by that. Like, the best way to get somebody you might be thinking about leaving to actually leave is to act like a desperate, pathetic fool
possessive
that can't live without you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's Trev Alberts supposed to do? No, you got a contract and you signed it. Buster.
Yeah.
Does Schlossnagel seem like the kind of guy that would respond to that?
No.
Positively?
And I guess we don't know. Look, all we have is one quote, so we don't know what was said around it.
Right.
I think what Aggie fans would hope is that he would, pitch him on why staying at A&M is the right thing to do. I'm guessing that, you know, that Albert's, but not in a way you're talking about, like doing it in a way, you know, like
I mean, it's just like when you try to, you know, soft pedal your way through conversations like this, I think saying something like that can actually be a really, and it can be genuine too. Again, I don't mean that it has to be like some part of a chess match or whatever, but just in having, you know, a frank and honest discussion in modern college athletics, that's the way things work out sometimes, and Trevor Alberts is aware of that.
Yeah, there's an article in the Chronicle about this that was written by Brent Zwerneman, and he said people familiar with the process said Alberts had tried reaching out to Schlossnagel on multiple occasions over the past couple of months, but that Schlossnagel exiting A&M for UT appear to already be in the works in that time frame. That reads a little weird just because aren't they in like the same building every day? Like, he reached out to Schlossnagel on multiple occasions over the past couple months.
Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he was just trying to, trying to soft pedal it.
Maybe.
And like, okay, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this. And maybe Schlossnagel just,
not now,
just wouldn't accept the meeting.
Yeah.
So again, if you're, you know, if you're just trying to get a conversation started, then, and if you're Trev Alberts, you got to try to plan for the future and have your contingency plans if he does leave. And if you just can't even get the conversation going, that might be something you say, like, hey, listen, man, like, if maybe you're planning on leaving or maybe you're thinking about leaving, that's cool. We just got to have a conversation about this.
Yeah.
You've been in that situation before, haven't you? Where you like you really just want to have an open conversation and show that you're not. It doesn't have to be combative or anything.
Right.
But we've got our needs too, and we got to move forward. So let's have a conversation about
it. Yeah. So at least we got clarity, so we know where we stand with everything.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. It would appear, according to the text page, that most Aggies are still blaming Schlossnagel.
Right. Yeah.
We are still mad at that liar. That's from Perry. So she sends that in all caps, that liar. If Schloss is moving his lips, another text, if Schloss is moving his lips 99% of the time, it's either a lie or he's talking about himself.
Is Schlossnagel, it's always dicey when you take quotes from former players or employees or anything. There's always going to be disgruntled people. So there's a few A&M players that have said not glowing things about Schlossnagel.
Yep.
Is Schlossnagel perhaps as close to a modern Bobby Knight as we could get in this day and age, where Bobby Knight would never get away with the way he was back then? But is he an abrasive guy who's a really effective coach? But yeah, like there's baggage that comes along with
it. He could be, because I've seen some of the, you know, a lot when he leaves, a lot of the stuff bubbles to the surface, like you just said. And especially on social media, they'll show video clips of him giving a quote after a game about a player where he's clearly... His motivation tactic is to ridicule that player, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So possibly, I thought too, Seth, that maybe, I don't know, like when I was reading Albert's quotes of the whole thing, where at least the one quote that made it out made it look like A&M wouldn't be all that heartbroken if he were to move on. I was wondering if maybe there's like a Jim Harbaugh element to Schlossnagel where there's a shelf life maybe.
Like he might not as welcome.
It might be tough to deal with.
Yeah, this guy's a good baseball coach, but my God, he's a pain in the butt.
Maybe
something like that.
Yeah, maybe. But at Texas, officially in the SEC, y'all got what you wanted. You are there now. All right, into the 8 o'clock hour we go. We'll get back to the Astros. We'll get to some NBA free agency in the 8 o'clock hour. There is drama in the NFL, though, man. There is drama in San Francisco. There is drama in Dallas that doesn't involve Dak Prescott. Players talking about each other. So we got a lot of stuff to get to. There's even some drama involving a former Texan and a current Houston Rocket that we've got to get into as well. So we'll get into all of that in the 8 o'clock segment coming up next. Stay there.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
On here, Hawk Tua girl. Her name's Haley Welch, I learned.
Daughter of a pastor of a mega church in New Jersey.
I don't know that that was true. I think that was false. Yeah, okay. I think that wound up being one of those things that people ran with, people like me. So I don't think that's true. It is true that her name is Haley Welch. It is true that she has sold nearly $70,000 worth of Hawk Tua merch. And it is also true, because I saw the video, that she was on stage for a Zach Bryan show on Saturday night. So,
did she put a trademark on that phrase? I wonder if she's got the advice. I wonder if anybody has advised her to do that.
She should.
Yeah.
She should.
Because she could go back and get some stuff in arrears, too, for this last week.
Yes.
She's got a pretty funny personality.
Yeah.
I think she might actually make a living for herself as some kind of social media personality.
Maybe.
She's self-deprecating. Like, I watched the long-form video where she was doing that interview, and she was like... She was twirling around like, look at my flat ass. She's pretty funny.
She's very funny.
Yeah. I see a lot of people defending her against what hate. I don't know. It doesn't seem like, it seems like people just think she's pretty funny.
Yeah. And she doesn't seem fazed by it. If there's hate, she doesn't seem to be fazed by it.
She
walked right out on that Zach Bryan stage on Saturday, walked right up to that microphone and
right
into the microphone.
On the microphone?
On the microphone, yeah. Not COVID-friendly, but who cares? Yeah.
The one thing I feel bad for that young lady is that, for the most part, like in her personal interactions moving forward in life, it's kind of a standard of, like, Pete Davidson's talked about this, because when Ariana Grande said something kind of complimentary about his anatomy, which he says is false, But like, so for the rest of his life, he's going to be constantly disappointing women who might be anticipating what Ariana Grande. That was five dimensional chess by Ariana Grande there.
Oh yeah,
is like get paid a compliment that's actually going to be a curse that poor Pete Davidson has to not pay off on for the rest of his life.
That's right. That's right. All right. That was Acknowledge Me. A lot of acknowledgement going on today. Hey, today is a big day up in Austin, and we knew it from some things happening over the weekend. We heard a little bit more from Austin, from UT's new baseball coach. This was very interesting. Are Aggies getting angry with the wrong person here? We will get to that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Monday. Texas is officially in the SEC today, July 1st. Although I feel like they've been firing salvos prior to getting into the SEC. What with the whole Schlossnagel saga last week where they thieved right out from underneath the Aggies. They thieved their baseball coach. So the Longhorns come into the SEC already with a little bit of juice. They were big celebration over the weekend out there in Austin.
I feel like the actual inauguration was when Feinbaum made it a point of discussion, because Paul Feinbaum, who is the biggest SEC agitator of them all, like, this was a big topic for him. So that was like their official welcome to the SEC moment, was that Paul Feinbaum was talking about them, encouraging callers and what have you.
Yep.
I would look forward to Longhorns now being in that world of just basically doing anything and everything right up to the point of, like, saying things that would get you arrested on his radio show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Feinbaum was in Austin over the weekend. They had a big celebration to announce their presence with authority coming into the SEC. And at that celebration, which took place on the SEC network, Jim Schlossnagel, now former A&M head baseball coach, current Longhorn baseball coach. Big article, by the way, this weekend, I believe, in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about this, with some interesting quotes from Schlossnagel himself about his interactions with Trev Alberts, the AD at A&M, that got a lot of attention. We'll get to that in just a second. But here was Schlossnagel yesterday on the SEC, or over the weekend, on the SEC network, on the uncertainty at A&M being a big reason he left to go to UT.
I took a job under one pretense, right, with an athletic director in Ross Bjork, and Trev, I think, is going to do great things at Texas A&M. There were some things that led me to... It just became a different job, and there's a lot of uncertainty in college athletics, as we all know, and there's going to be uncertainty everywhere. But the one thing I know of that is relatively certain is my relationship with Chris. Mm. And that's not a negative on Texas A&M. They're going to think what they want to think, and that's okay. But it was just more of my relationship with Chris. I don't want to coach forever.
Yeah.
And so for the remainder of which I do want to coach, I wanted to have some certainty with the future. And again, I think A&M is going to do great things. But University of Texas, it was just too much to walk away from.
All right, so the quote from that article that I was referencing, Seth, in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, that was Jim Schlossnagel yesterday in Austin, all adorned in his burnt orange gear, sitting right next to Chris Del Conte, by the way, at the stage. Yeah. Like, Del Conte was sitting right next to him, so they're attached at the hip right now.
They're best buds, man.
Yep, they have been for a long time, going back to TCU. But the quote that got a lot of attention this weekend was where Schlossnagel claimed in an interview with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that Trev Alberts, the AD at A&M, told him in the past month, quote, if you don't ever feel this is the place for you, that's okay, and it's okay to move on. And Schlossnagel said that he kind of took that quote like, wow, okay, that's interesting. That's not something you say to somebody that you want to keep around for a long, long time.
That sounds like something you say when you want to break up, but you don't want to be the one that breaks up. You try to like leave that avenue open to be like, hey, you know,
it's okay.
Sometimes people go their different way. I mean, I love you. I love you. I do. But I'd be totally cool with you leaving me right now. Here, I actually packed your bags for you already.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew you'd have a relationship analogy for it.
I spent years in a... You know, any person listening who was once a cowardly teenager knows what it's like to want to break up with somebody and then,
want to break up.
Maybe treat somebody in a way in which, like, you're forcing them to break up with you, but then you're immediately jealousy stricken when you realize they've moved on. You're like, oh, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Trev Alberts has not addressed Schlossnagel's claim that that's what was said to him by Alberts, and he's kind of staying away from it because they're busy. I think they found their new head coach. I think they're keeping somebody they're keeping him. He was on Schlossnagel's staff at A&M. He's going to stick around and coach the team. So they found their guy. But Alberts is not getting in the muck with Schlossnagel on this thing, it doesn't sound like. Are Aggie fans mad at the right guy? Like, without knowing, I don't know all the day-to-day at A&M like Aggie fans do, but like on the surface, if I were a new Aggie fan and I didn't know all the day-to-day, I would like, I bet that's an odd thing for the AD to say to a guy we want to keep around for a while.
I would say this, no. And it's because this is a tactic that my defensive line coach once used on me when I was going to try to transfer out of Cornell because I wanted to go to a big-time school. And I don't think it was a tactic. I love this coach, and he's like a second father to me in a lot of ways. Like when he sat down and talked to me about transferring, he basically said, "Hey, Seth, I'm gonna love you no matter what. If you transfer to this other school, I'm gonna cheer for you, and I'm gonna really hope for the best for you." And that actually was a moment where, you know, it's a different dynamic. That's an older man talking to a young protege. But it felt like love to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like the fact that the way he phrased it and the way he framed it, it felt like I could trust him. Mm-hmm. You know. And I don't know exactly what the tone of the conversation was or anything, but I could see that being in Trev Alberts' way of saying, like, hey, listen, I'm just going to, you know, we're having this conversation man to man, and I get it. If you want to move on, it's not, you know, we'll be all right. I don't know. I think it, depending again on how it was presented and everything, that could just be a way that Trev Alberts was trying to humanize the conversation and to break down some barriers.
Yeah.
I don't look at that on the surface of it and think that, oh yeah, he was driving away by that. Like, the best way to get somebody you might be thinking about leaving to actually leave is to act like a desperate, pathetic fool
possessive.
That can't live without you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's Trev Alberts supposed to do? No, you got a contract and you signed it. Buster.
Yeah.
Does Schlossnagel seem like the kind of guy that would respond to that?
No.
Positively?
And I guess we don't know. Look, all we have is one quote, so we don't know what was said around it.
Right.
I think
what
Aggie fans would hope is that he would, and he may have pitch him on why staying at A&M is the right thing to do. I'm guessing that, you know, that Alberts, but not in a way you're talking about, like doing it in a way, you know, like
I mean, it's just like when you try to, you know, soft pedal your way through conversations like this, I think saying something like that can actually be a really, and it can be genuine too. Again, I don't mean that it has to be like some part of a chess match or whatever, but just in having, you know, a frank and honest discussion in modern college athletics, that's the way things work out sometimes, and Trevor Alberts is aware of that.
Yeah, there's an article in the Chronicle about this that was written by Brent Zwerneman, and he said people familiar with the process said Alberts had tried reaching out to Schlossnagel on multiple occasions over the past couple of months, but the Schlossnagel exiting A&M for UT appeared to already be in the works in that time frame. That reads a little weird, just because aren't they in like the same building every day? Like, he reached out to Schlossnagel on multiple occasions over the past couple months.
Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he was just trying to soft pedal it.
Maybe.
And like, okay, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this. And maybe Schlossnagel just,
not now,
just wouldn't accept the meeting.
Yeah.
So again, if you're just trying to get a conversation started, then, and if you're Trev Alberts, you got to try to plan for the future and have your contingency plans if he does leave. And if you just can't even get the conversation going, that might be something you say, like, hey, listen, man, like, if maybe you're planning on leaving or maybe you're thinking about leaving, that's cool. we just got to have a conversation about this. Yeah. You've been in that situation before, haven't you? Where you like you really just want to have an open conversation and show that you're not. It doesn't have to be combative or anything.
Right.
But we've got our needs too, and we got to move forward. So let's have a conversation about
it. Yeah. So at least we got clarity, so we know where we stand with everything.
Yeah.
For sure. It would appear, according to the text page, that most Aggies are still blaming Schlossnagel.
Right. Yeah.
We are still mad at that liar. That's from Perry. So she sends that in all caps, that liar. If Schloss is moving his lips, another text, if Schloss is moving his lips 99% of the time, it's either a lie or he's talking about himself.
Is Schlossnagel, it's always dicey when you take quotes from former players or employees or anything. There's always going to be disgruntled people. So there's a few A&M players that have said not glowing things about Schlossnagel.
Yep.
Is Schlossnagel perhaps as close to a modern Bobby Knight as we could get in this day and age, where Bobby Knight would never get away with the way he was back then? But is he an abrasive guy who's a really effective coach? But yeah, like there's baggage that comes along with
it. He could be, because I've seen some of the, you know, a lot when he leaves, a lot of the stuff bubbles to the surface, like you just said. And especially on social media, they'll show video clips of him giving a quote after a game about a player where he's clearly... His motivation tactic is to ridicule that player, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So possibly, I thought too, Seth, that maybe, I don't know, like when I was reading Albert's quotes of the whole thing, where at least the one quote that made it out made it look like A&M wouldn't be all that heartbroken if he were to move on. I was wondering if maybe there's like a Jim Harbaugh element to Schlossnagel where there's a shelf life maybe. Like
he's worn out his welcome a little bit.
Might be tough to deal with.
Yeah, this guy's a good baseball coach, but my God, he's a pain in the butt.
Maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah, maybe. But at Texas, officially in the SEC, y'all got what you wanted. You are there now. All right, into the 8 o'clock hour we go. We'll get back to the Astros. We'll get to some NBA free agency in the 8 o'clock hour. There is drama in the NFL, though, man. There is drama in San Francisco. There is drama in Dallas that doesn't involve Dak Prescott. Players talking about each other. So we got a lot of stuff to get to. There's even some drama involving a former Texan and a current Houston Rocket that we've got to get into as well. So we'll get into all that in the 8 o'clock segment coming up next. Stay there.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be
to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.